The sermon title today is Loved by Grace. Today I was going to do the second part of Stand Up Part 2 because last we did Stand Up Part 1. But we're going to wait on that because God has said that I nearly need to work on keeping love in front of each and every one of us. And sometimes we as church people, we don't do a very good job of that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, I can have all gifts, but to not have love, I have nothing. Do we understand that the importance of our faith to the body of Christ is not on how wise we are or how many gifts that we have, but how deep our love is? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. You're also very, very familiar with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says in verse 1, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. He goes on to say in verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. We find in Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments, and you've heard it said before, they are not the Ten Suggestions, they are the Ten Commandments. The first four are about how we are to love and respect God, and the last six are about how we are to love and love and respect others. In Matthew chapter 22, where Jesus was challenged and asked, what is the great commandment of the law? And what did Jesus say? To love God and to love others. In John in chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment, he says, I give you, you will love one another as I loved you, and people will know that you are my disciples if you do this. So let me ask you, do you love the body of Christ? Do you love one another so much that you are willing to lay down your life for the body of Christ? No matter how long that you have been a Christian or how long that you've been married, I find that we know very, very little about the word called love. Well, we can put the Greek names to it. We can say there's an eros, which is an erotic love. There's philo or philo, that is a brotherly love, and there's agape, which is other-directed love. We know a lot about love in what we are not supposed to do, but in many ways, it's still the kind of love we practice, a love that controls, a love that manipulates, a love that dominates, a love that is destructive, a love that is based on merit, quid pro quo. Face it, most of our teaching on love has been flesh-based. Our love for one another, the love in our marriages, our love for the sinner needs to be what? It needs to be spirit-based, not flesh-based. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? It's love. Why? I believe that the Lord is saying, because you need to know more about that right, the right kind of love, and that you don't know enough about it. But you need to know more about the right kind of love, the love in the Spirit. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says what? For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is what? It is a gift of God. Grace means what? Unmerited, undeserved. Now listen, the love of God cannot be separated from grace. I want to say that again. The love of God cannot be separated from grace. In His love for us, grace is always there and it is always activated in our lives. You can't earn God's love. You don't deserve God's love. It's a love extended to us through grace. It's a love submerged in grace. Turn with me to John chapter 3 and verse 16. I give you a lot of scriptures beforehand, and if you're a note taker, you can write them down, but for the essence of time, we didn't read each and every one of them, but we'll go to John chapter 3, verse 16, which is a verse that I know that you are very, very familiar with. John chapter 3 and verse 16. But I want you to read it and look at it as we talk about it. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you and I, that through grace he gave his only begotten Son." You didn't deserve his Son. None of us deserved his Son. Why did he give his Son? By the grace of God, by his grace, unmerited and undeserved, he was willing to give his Son. So you can say that the word love and the word of grace is immersed together in the Spirit. That we can't have one without the other unless we're going to do something that is a fleshly love. But in the Spirit, grace must go before it. Did the world deserve God's love? No, God's love is grace-based. It is always grace-based. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, we'll read verse 6 through 8. In verse 6 of Romans 5, "But when we were still without strength," meaning what? You couldn't save yourself. There's not anything you can do. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. "In due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die yet. Perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love." Demonstrated how? By grace. "Toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by the blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." God demonstrated his love through grace. He gave before you deserved it. He didn't wait till you earned it before he gave it. You see, that's what we do with love today. If you deserve it, I'm going to share my love with you. If you've earned it, I'm going to share my love with you. If you meet these requirements, then I will love you. But if you don't meet these requirements, then I'm not going to love you. You see, it's all flesh-based on me, what I'm going to get out of this. What's in it for me? If I'm going to love you, then what am I going to get back? What am I going to get in return? And what a terrible thing in the body of Christ that we do that for one another, or that we would do that for one another in our spouse, in our relationship that we have in our family. But many times it's very much merit-based. Fleshly love is flesh-based, so then it is merit-based. If you do, I will. God's love, spiritual love, is grace-based. I will. It doesn't matter what you do. When you think about Christ so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, you can never get away from the love of God. The worst sinner that you could ever think of in your whole entire mind is loved by God just as much as he loved you, because Jesus died for him. The only difference is he has not recognized that need for salvation, and you have. But his love for them is still there. The love in the world, the love for those that are not walking with him, not trusting with him. And you see that we're supposed to love one another as Christ loved us. As he gave his life for us, we're supposed to love each other in that way. The church should be a place of love. A church should be a place of acceptance. The church should be a place, it doesn't matter who walks in that doors. I don't care if they're gay. I don't care if they're whatever they are in the world. They know that they can come to a place where they're going to be loved. Doesn't mean we agree with them. Doesn't mean we agree with their standard of life. We're going to try to teach them a different standard of life. But at the same time, what are we going to do? We are going to love them. And sometimes we become very stipulated in that love that we share. God's love, spiritual love, is grace-based. It doesn't matter what you do, I still will love you. I will love you even before I see a return, even if I never see a return. My love I extend to others is God-based, a love that is grace-based, a love that doesn't expect a return, knowing I will be blessed by God because of that love that I extend. It's not the blessings of man that we want back. It's we want and desire the blessings from God. Where from and who from do you want your blessings to be from? Of course, you want your blessings to be from God. So I may do a wonderful thing for my wife, and I might say, boy, I was really nice, wasn't I? I went in there and I made that bed today. I picked up my dirty clothes. Wasn't I a good boy today? And she can pat me on the head and say, you are a very good husband. That's not how it's supposed to work, is it? I'm supposed to do those things out of love and out of devotion in my relationship, not expecting something in return, but I know that my blessings is going to be from God. As I reach out to the body of Christ and I reach out to my neighbors, I don't expect a return from them because I know that God is going to bless me. In faith school, Dennis has been talking about walking in divine prosperity. I walk in divine prosperity. I give out love, not expecting anything back, but I know that God is going to bless me because that's the kind of God that we serve, a good God. We can experience rejection of our love from others, but my blessings are from God. A picture came to me when I was thinking about this because I've been thinking about it all week. And I remember that when I was young, a long time ago, that we used to have more straight-up bicycles. You know, the Swin bicycle, the ones with the straight handlebars and all that different thing. And they really, they balanced themselves pretty good. And then you got to where you got to the Stingrays and the tricycle-type bicycles. They didn't steer themselves that well. But them old bikes, you could get on them. And once you practice for a while, you could just pedal and pedal and pedal and then let go. And you could ride that bicycle with what? No hands. No steering, no control. Grace is God's love with no hands. I don't have to have my hands on it. I don't have to expect anything in return because I know that God is going to bless me. Let's take our hands off our love for one another and just love. Think about it. I can't give you my salvation. I can't give it to you. I can teach you about it. I can witness to you. I can't give you my faith. I can teach about faith. I can talk about faith. I can build your faith. I can expand your faith. But if you're lacking faith, I can't give it to you. The gifts of the Spirit. I want everyone to have them. I want everyone to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues. But I can't give it to you. It's between you and your Heavenly Father. The only thing that I can give you as your pastor is love. That's the only thing I can give you. Love extended with grace, that no matter what you do this week, that you have fallen on your face and you made a mistake, you can still come back to this church on Sunday and know that Pastor Lee is going to love you. If you sin and you've been overtaken by the fall of sin, yes, we need to pray about it, and yes, you're going to get through it, and yes, you're going to be delivered from it, but at the same time, you know you're going to come to the church, and the church is going to love you. I can give you love through grace. We need to take our hands off our love for one another and just love. This church has doubled overnight. We've all experienced it. We've all been here. It's doubled overnight. It's not something you could get ready for. It's not something you could get set up for. You try to do everything that you possibly can. And still, as we go along, we make mistakes. Jason has been one. He's taught us along so many times, and he's told me so many times, I've got your back. No matter what happens, I've got your back. And when he preached 2 weeks ago, he went to the back of the church, and he says, I've got your back, and I'm going to pray back here. This church should be a church where I've got your back. I'm not going to run you down. I'm not going to tear you down. My job is to build you up and to love you and to support you. Not everyone is people like us. There's some people you can sit down with and you could visit all afternoon with. Some people you can't. Some people you don't have that, maybe that niche where you can talk about farming or hunting or fishing or whatever. But it should never stop us from loving someone, does it? This week was one of the greatest things that ever happened in the United States in the Supreme Court. We are so blessed that we are going to save the life of our children. Never in our minds should we ever think that it's okay to kill a baby. it's never okay. God is going to bless this nation because of that decision. And because of that decision, you're going to see that there are going to be states that are going to accept abortion, and there's going to be states that are not. And I'm going to stand here and prophesy to you right now, the ones that do not accept it, the ones that outlaw it, are going to be blessed states in our union. And the ones that are not are still walking in the curse that they have received from the killing of their children. Everyone is loved. And never think that even though that I am against abortion and that I am totally submitted to the life of the child, never think that I would look ever upon anybody that went through the tragedy of an abortion that they would not be loved by Pastor Leo. If anybody is without sin, please get up and come up here. None of us are. The sins I made may be different from the sins that you've made. The mistakes you made may be different from the mistakes I've made. And there's a lot of people in this country that need our love. And for them to know that this is a place where they can come and they are going to be loved. That's the kind of church we want to be. That's the kind of church. I want you to stand with me today. I could go on and on about the decision that was made overturning Roe versus Wade, and I don't want to minimize it because it was one of the greatest things that our country has ever done. 50 years we've turned this for the right direction by the prayers of the saints. What does the scripture say? 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. We talked last week about standing in the gap. We need to stand in the gap for our nation. We need to stand in the gap. Not only over abortion, but there's so many things in our country that we need to stand in the gap and submit our lives to the Lord Jesus. But I want you to say with me today, I am loved. God loves me. I am loved. My pastors love me. I am loved. My church family loves me. I will love my church. I will love my church family. I will love with no hands. Let's pray. Father, we just rejoice in this day that you have given us to come out and to praise and lift up the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word. Father, as we leave this place, may your hand be upon each and every one of our lives. And Father, may we as people of you today know that we are loved by you, we are loved by this church, and this church will love each other. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen.